Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey folks, this is the Lakers Legacy Podcast, and we are proud to announce a partnership collaboration with a brand new podcast app. If you're looking for a new way to listen to podcasts that's a lot more interactive and fun, well, look no further than the Cooler Podcast Player on the Apple Store. The Cooler Podcast Player is essentially like Reddit, but curated and consolidated per podcast community so that you can join the conversation in a safer, more intimate, and less trolly space than other apps like X. And you can do so with other like-minded Lakers Legacy Podcast listeners. So grab a drink, make your way over to the Cooler, and join the conversation now by downloading the Cooler Podcast Player app. Make sure to add the Lakers Legacy to your queue and use the code LITLEGACY, that's L-I-T Legacy, to join the Lakers Legacy community page and get the discussions going. If you guys have any Q&A, mailbag stuff that you want to throw our way, do it there and we'll look at it and bring it up in a future episode. So the Cooler Podcast Player, listen, then speak your mind. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where this weekend, don't forget to adjust your clocks for daylight savings, because we're all about to lose an extra hour. But who needs daylight savings when you can just watch the Lakers and lose 3 hours of your life every night that they play in that way? So light the beam, the Lakers got creamed, because one king can't defeat a whole team of them alone. Especially when those kings have a fox and a monk on their side. So on a night when the Lakers could have picked a full game up on the Sacramento Kings, on a night when the Golden State Warriors took care of their business and beat the Milwaukee Bucks, the Lakers, of course, decided to do their typical bipolar yo-yo act that they've been doing this entire season by going up by 19 points in the first quarter, then losing that lead entirely, and then going down by 15 points in that same half, inevitably getting punked on their home floor by the Sacramento Kings and their faster, more athletic skill guards, all while Anthony Davis went MIA against another white Eurocorn center. As the Lakers now drop to 10th place in the West, they are 34-30, only one game out of 8th place thanks to the tumbling Mavs, who have lost 5 out of their last 6, but the Lakers are now 3 full games out of 6, which the Phoenix Suns currently occupy. The Lakers are 4-4 post-All-Star break, and outside of the Oklahoma City Thunder game the other night, the Lakers don't have any true quality wins out of the All-Star break, and they could technically be 1-7 if a possession or two shook out differently in any of those other games. So yeah, the Lakers are as mid can be. They'll beat the number one seed in a conference one night, and then lose to a no-defense, all-offense, imposter playoff team like the Kings on another night. But what can you do? Anyway, I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. And Tommy, the Lakers suck, the Lakers are frustrating, but happy almost daylight savings day to you. How's your March going? Any allergies flaring up for you?
No, man, I'm all good. Thank you for asking. Now, nobody asked me.
No, seriously, do you have allergies during this time, or are you pretty good with the pollen?
Honestly, I have like year-round allergies. I feel like it's not it's not just springtime.
Gotcha. Well, that sucks. But speaking of year-round allergies, I am also year-round allergic to Darvin Ham's rotations and his continued blind love fest with the Half-Blood Toy imprint. So, Ayo, so fire this man and get these two guys off my team for next year, please. On a brighter note, as it pertains to springtime, if you are living in the SoCal area or visiting during this March-April months, make sure to check out the Huntington Botanical Gardens and Library during this time of the year, because this is when the flowers really start to bloom and flourish, especially because of all the rain we've been getting in LA recently. The whole place ends up looking absolutely breathtaking and magical with all of the flowery foliage. So yeah, check out the Huntington Gardens. We do not have a sponsorship with them, unfortunately. It's just an awesome place to visit. I have a year-round membership. And they also just opened up a new agricultural Japanese house right on top of the Japanese garden that you can peruse as well. So yeah, go to the Huntington Gardens instead of wasting your time watching this Lakers team continue to fiddle around with who they want to be this season. All right, so I guess we have to talk about the Lakers and the game. So for today's episode, it's going to be a bit of a mismatched, jigsawed type of episode. I'm going to let Tommy go for a bit for this first section because we did our recordings prior to the Kings game. So for the first part of the show, I'm going to very quickly recap the Kings' loss, and I say very quickly because I do not want to dwell on it for too long or else my mood will turn extremely sour and I worry about my mental health. And then for the second half of the show, I'll bring Tommy back in, at which point we shall then talk about a very prevalent topic to the team's recent play post All-Star break. And that is the topic of sharing usage amongst the Lakers ball handlers and what to do about D'Angelo's diminishing playmaking role. So stay tuned for that discussion. But first, the Kings game. As you all know, the Lakers lost 130-120 to the Sacramento Kings at crypto.com last night. The Lakers came out of the gates guns blazing, going up by 19 points and finishing the first quarter up 37-28. And we all thought that after that big, convincing Oklahoma City Thunder win a few nights ago, that the Lakers had finally turned the corner and were ready for this stretch run to take things seriously and be locked in and focused. But nope, the joke is on all of us. This team, as it has all season, snapped back into their Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde routine and ended up giving up a 40-20 second quarter and went down 73-58 at the half. A near 19-point swing all the way around. By halftime, the game felt over from there, and then in the second half, after Anthony Davis picked up his fourth foul with 8 minutes left, a foul that Darvin Ham admitted that he should have challenged, Ham brought in Taurean Prince for the most futile 2 minutes of basketball that you'll ever see. Taurean Prince ends up getting burned by De'Aaron Fox countless times, and then it was really over from there. Look, I'm not going to say much about this game because it's a tale we've seen from this team over and over this season, and as recently as Saturday versus the Nuggets, but here's the tale of the game. The Lakers came out with the right mindset out of the gate, but their 48-minute focus was not there. This team thought that they could throw enough of a haymaker at the Kings in the first quarter and that the Kings would just lay down and die from there and they could just chill and coast the rest of the game. The Lakers brought it for 9 minutes, and once they were up by 19, they thought they could just play and one street ball and hope D'Angelo Russell and a couple of guys go on a heater the rest of the game, dick around, and comfortably win from there. And of course, that didn't happen. The Lakers got their asses handed to them. The Kings' skill guards ate up our skill guards, as well as our forwards like Taurean Prince, who shouldn't have been guarding any of them in the first place. And then Domantas Sabonis cut us up with his passing. He had 12 assists. And also, he killed us on the glass. He had 20 rebounds and outworked and out-physicaled Anthony Davis, as the Lakers end up getting out-rebounded 46-34 in total. And outside of LeBron James, who had a phenomenal 31.13 assist game, also hitting 10 of 10 from the line, which is amazing, outside of LeBron James and Rui Hachimura, who had 29 points of his own and was aggressively taking it to the basket with a sheer show of force and physicality, everyone else, most especially Anthony Davis, was MIA. And last night, we saw every single individual Lakers' worst tendencies come to light. whether it was Anthony Davis's lack of offensive aggression, him getting punked by a skilled center on the glass, or Austin Reeves' wild over-dribbling forays into the paint, taking bad shots and turning the ball over, or D'Angelo Russell fading into the background, becoming too passive, and then getting sloppy once he finally got the ball, to Taurean Prince being Taurean Prince and cast in the wrong role, defending the wrong guys, coming in at the wrong time of the game, a team worse minus 17 in just 15 minutes. Capped off by an overall porous chickens with their heads cut off defense by the team in totality. And then Darvin Ham doing Darvin Ham things, closing with Cam Reddish over D'Angelo Russell versus the Nuggets one night, and then DNPing Reddish altogether another night, this night, allowing Taurean Prince to chase the Kings' fast guards off of screens, when we all know that is what Cam Reddish excels at. But no, he didn't play a single minute. And then Darvin Ham subbing Prince in for AD. Yeah, everyone was bad, from the players to the coach. It was all bad. All right, so Anthony Davis. Everyone today is already all over this topic, so I'm not going to belabor the point and beat you over the head with this. But yes, Anthony Davis was lifeless, sluggish, and uninvolved the entire game. He is now 0-9 against Domantas Sabonis all time, and for whatever reason, it didn't look like he cared or gave a damn about that horrendous stat. Anthony Davis was content to be an afterthought in the Lakers' game plan and never really tried to take the game by the reins. Now, that's not all his fault, because as you all know, his own coach, Darvin Ham, you know him well, his own coach decided to yank him at the 8-minute mark of the third quarter after he picked up his fourth foul. A foul that, again, Coach Ham should have challenged but didn't. A foul that, if that had been called against Taurean Prince, Ham would have challenged that call yesterday. So that very literally took AD out of the game. But on top of that, you know what else has been taking AD out of the game? Too much point Austin dribbling around with the ball. And as I mentioned, Tommy and I are going to expound upon this issue after the break, but for whatever reason, after going 9-2 in February, with D'Lo playing more de facto point guard and averaging 7.5 assists, the Lakers, after the All-Star break, decided to go away from all of that. They decided to go away from what was working. Surprise, surprise. Now, to Austin Reeves' credit, he had improved his play as a playmaker in the new year, averaging 6 assists and only 2 turnovers, but this new sort of shift post-All-Star break to all of a sudden default back to Austin as more of the primary point guard in early game situations when you have LeBron James and D'Angelo Russell there next to him, I just have not understood what we've been doing at all. I thought we learned from this already about piling on too much usage onto Austin Reeves and giving him too much of the ball early on in the season. So whether it's on the players on the court or Coach Ham, the marginalizing and unpoint guarding of D'Angelo Russell has been an underrated, overlooked topic post-All-Star break that I feel like needs to be more heavily discussed. And I bring that up because the Lakers' offense has looked clunky and inconsistent recently. Reeves is dribbling the air of the ball and going back to his turnover-prone ways, and because of that, Anthony Davis is much less involved. He's not getting those easy over-the-top post-seal passes in the paint in half-court situations because D'Angelo Russell is the one who throws those types of passes the best. Anthony Davis is also not getting those easy no-look lobs from D'Angelo Russell off double-drag actions because, again, D'Lo doesn't have the ball to play point guard. When is the last time you saw D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis run a competent pick-and-roll? I think they had one pick-and-pop play where Anthony Davis hit a mid-range jump shot last night, but that was when the game was already over. So, as fun as it's been to see D'Angelo Russell go on these heater runs and shoot the lights out from three like he did versus OKC, to me, the most effective D'Angelo Russell, and he said this himself, the most effective D'Angelo Russell is the one who has the ball in his hands, who's operating in the pick and roll as the main decision maker, a D'Angelo Russell who can get into a rhythm and get into this zen-like flow state so that he can absolutely carve up defenses with his shot or his pass. And for whatever reason, the Lakers have just completely gone away from it. And it's totally zapped D'Lo of all his rhythm, to the point where when he finally gets those sparse opportunities in the second half to get the ball, he's off kilter and turning the ball over more than ever. It's because he doesn't have a feel for the ball anymore, and that's exactly what happened last night when he had 10 points at the half, 3 of 5 from the field, and only took his 7th shot in the fourth quarter. So yeah, if you're wondering why Anthony Davis isn't more involved, obviously the onus is primarily on him, but also the ball is not in the hands of the point guard who gets Anthony Davis the ball the most outside of LeBron James. So we'll get into more D'Angelo Russell ball handling duties talk in a second. Let me just cap off this first segment and say, in summary, the main problems we saw in the Kings game, the main problems we've been seeing post All-Star break, I boil them down to, number one, Darvin Ham. Are these losses solely all on Darvin Ham? No, they aren't. But is Darvin Ham actually aiding this team and being more of the solution than he is more of the problem and managing the rotations well, maximizing the guys on this roster? No, he isn't. So number one, Darvin Ham is the problem still. Number two, AD's inconsistent play recently, getting 40 points against the Wizards one night, battling Wemby and Chet mano a mano, and then getting absolutely punked against more of these veteran Euro centers like Jokic and Sabonis. AD has been very up and down post All-Star break. So number two, AD's inconsistent play. And then number three, the unpoint guarding of D'Angelo Russell, which is a great segue into what Tommy and I will be talking about in our next segment. So why don't we take it to break here? When we return, Tommy and I will have a quick discussion on how to solve the Lakers' revolving door of ball handlers who need the ball in their hands to be successful. So we will catch you guys after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, so we are back. Before we get into our last discussion of the episode, I wanted to just really quickly remind you guys to please rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app or give us 5 stars on the Spotify app. We have started to get some very trolly reviews, and that's never a great thing when you're getting more trolly reviews than actual support from our dedicated fans and listeners. So for those of you who haven't yet done so, we would greatly appreciate it if you could help counteract those very trolly 1-star reviews on the Apple Podcast app and give us some 5-star ones and let us know how much you enjoy listening to us. We would, again, greatly appreciate it. All right, so Tommy's back here with me now, ready to talk some Lakers ball handling guard usage and the misalignment of that usage since the All-Star break. So yeah, Tommy, I am not sure what happened after the All-Star break. Whether it's Ham getting bored with how we've been playing when we went 9-3 in February and wanted to just switch things up, or whether it's LeBron James being more forceful about having the ball in his hands more often. But the haphazard, uneven distribution of usage and on-ball reps that's befallen all of our primary ball handlers, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, to a lesser extent, Spencer Dinwiddie, I feel like it's led to some very uneven, inconsistent performances from all of our other ball handlers recently. D'Lo, Reeves, Dinwiddie. These are all players who gain a rhythm by having the ball in their hands. And I feel like this problem and this usage misalignment has affected D'Angelo Russell the most out of anyone. And it's also affected the team the most, actually. In February, D'Angelo Russell averaged 7.5 assists a game, and the Lakers were 9-2 in the games that he played. He missed that one Denver Nuggets game. In 3 games in March, D'Angelo Russell is only averaging 3 assists per game, and the Lakers are 1-2. D'Angelo Russell has had exactly 3 assists in each of these last 3 games, and remarkably, this is just the first time this season that D'Angelo Russell has recorded less than 4 assists in more than 1 consecutive game. It's a pretty incredible stat if you actually think about it, because D'Angelo Russell had never even had back-to-back games of less than 4 assists. till this March, where he now has three consecutive such games with sadly almost as many turnovers as he has assists, six turnovers. And look, this isn't just a D'Angelo Russell thing. There have also been a few games in which Austin Reaves has been uninvolved through much of the game and kind of just floated around till late. And then for Spencer Dinwiddie, I mean, poor guy. He just needs to plug the gaps and run cardio out there sometimes. And then when he miraculously gets the ball in his hands, he just needs to make the right play 100% of the time or hit his shot, because he's not sure when he's ever going to get the ball back. So tough luck. So Tommy, what do we do here about the Lakers' ball handling conundrum? I feel like on any given night, at least one of these players, it's mostly going to be Spencer Dinwiddie, but I feel like you can see it affecting D'Angelo Russell one night or Austin Reaves the next night, where one of these guys is just going to get lost in the sauce. And is there a way to counteract that? Or do these guys just have to stay ready at any moment's notice and be okay with playing off ball? I still think that the best course of action for this team is prioritizing D'Angelo Russell first, early and often, and then LeBron James can take over, and then Austin Reaves can take over. But in recent games where we have prioritized either LeBron James or Austin Reaves, I feel like D'Angelo Russell kind of just withers away. And luckily, he's had games like the Clippers game where he bounces back in the fourth quarter and, you know, channels that clutch gene of his. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on the guard rotation? Because adding Spencer Dinwiddie to the mix, while it has helped alleviate some of Austin Reaves' primary ball handling problems and taken the pressure off of him, I feel like we're just doing this rotating chairs of like, oh, now Austin Reaves all of a sudden doesn't have the ball. And in like we saw in the Washington Wizards game, it took him a while to the fourth quarter to channel himself, you know, because he was just content to, well, I don't know if content is the right word, but he just wasn't getting opportunities to play on ball like he usually likes to do. And so is it going to continue to be this rotating revolving doors sort of thing with these guards? And do you have a solve for... Yeah, I mean, do you agree with me that D'Angelo Russell should be default prioritized, or should it be Austin Reaves? Because I guess there's an argument to be made that, yes, the Lakers invested the most into Austin Reaves. We have him signed for the next 3 years, so it makes sense that we should continue to pump him with this usage. At the same time, for me, it's like, this is win now mode, and even though you're not sure if D'Angelo Russell is going to return past this year, I still think it benefits us the most to give him the ball first and make sure that he's in rhythm first, because we know that Austin Reaves can always fall back on his connectivity role and is content to do the little things. But essentially, I'm saying we have a lot of guys who perform the best with the ball in their hands, but they're not having the ball in their hands more and more. So is there a solve here, or is it just guys need to stay ready?
I think it's a combo, but I think I lean more towards there's a solve. And I think the solve goes back to something that we talked about like preseason, I think. So preseason, I guessed, like looking at our roster 1 through 11 at that point. I mean, we've had so many injuries, it's crazy. But we envisioned like 11 guys legitimately could be part of our almost every night rotation, right? When we looked at the roster at the beginning of the season. And we looked at our scores and we looked at our projected starting lineups. And my prediction at that time was, I think Austin Reaves is going to average a career high in assists. I think his scoring might level off or maybe even go down. Because I think like with all these guys who can score, one of them is going to have to take a back seat on usage and Austin can do other things. Now we're now like three quarters of the way through the season. And that has not been the case, right? If anything, we've kind of gone too far the opposite direction, and we've tried to force Austin to be someone who I don't really view him to be necessarily. And I think the answer is like, you know, to this problem is really Austin just needs to fall back into what his current, I'm not talking about what we want him to be in 2 years or 3 years or the rest of his career. I'm talking about like it's 2024 right now. To your point, win now is win now. And that, I feel like win now often gets like sort of mischaracterized as like, well, you're playing someone who has like a higher floor but lower upside. It's like, no, when I say win now, I'm just objectively who is better now between Austin Reaves and D'Lo. D'Lo's a better player. So I need to go, you know, I would focus on keeping D'Lo integrated. He's coming off you know, two consecutive months of averaging 20 plus points. He averaged nearly 8 assists and only 1.8 turnovers in the month of February, which is completely batshit stuff. I mean, like people don't do that for, you know, so it's like, and shooting over 40% two straight months. He averaged 4 threes made a game in January and 3.5 threes made a game in February. It should not be a question that this guy is the guy we need to get going. You know, at the end of the game, LeBron is going to get his. AD, okay, fine. You could make an argument he needs to be worked into. But in terms of perimeter players who should be getting the most usage, I think the answer to our problems with all these ball handlers is it really should be. Until it's the end of the game and you want the ball in LeBron's hands, it's got to be D'Lo, then Austin, then Spencer among our guards. And then when Gabe comes in, we'll see what that does to the rotation with Spencer. But Austin, I think, is the one that, you know, and I don't put the blame solely on Austin because I'm sure they're telling him to do this, like what he's doing. But we're running way too much offense through Austin Reeves. He's a very good player. He's a very good role player for where he is right now. He's not a guy that, like, in critical, like, we need to win this game for playoff positioning, we should be running like high usage offense through at this stage of his career.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, I think if you want to do that with Austin, it should happen in the second or third shift with D'Angelo Russell off the floor, you know? But to start these games off where D'Angelo Russell's there and you're opting to default to Austin first, to me, it just doesn't make sense. And to Austin's credit, I feel like more so than D'Angelo Russell, you know that, and he showed this in the Wizards game, you know that even if he's uninvolved for three quarters, in the fourth quarter when you need him the most, Austin can just channel his dynamic energy and activity, you know, to like always be effective no matter what. I can't say the same about D'Angelo Russell because he is a rhythm flow player. And not to say that Austin isn't, but Austin has shown the ability to, you know, just channel that whenever, you know, channel his hymnness whenever. And so I think it's more important knowing our personnel, knowing your personnel well, to make sure D'Lo's involved early and often so that stems the tide of the full game. Whereas Austin has the ability to always bring something to the table. This is what people always say about why Austin Reeves is the third player, right? Because he has the intangibles. He's always energetic. He can bring it on the defensive end when he wants to. So I think to Austin's credit, he unfortunately should be the one to sacrifice a little bit more usage, and hopefully the coaching staff gets on board with that. I will say that during the month of January and February, Austin Reeves kind of showed us dividends of what we were doing earlier on this season and pumping this usage into him, because he really controlled his turnovers. Yeah, he averaged like six assists in February. So I understand arguments, people's arguments where it's like, well, look what happened when we just allowed Austin to play on ball. You know, like we got to the point in February where Austin was averaging 17.6 assists below two turnovers, you know? So I understand that argument, but at the same time, it feels like there's like a balance to be met here, right? And I feel like we're reverting too much back to what we were doing to start the season when things weren't working, and starting to let D'Angelo Russell get too lost in the sauce in the meantime. So all that being said, I think I agree with you. Let's prioritize D'Angelo Russell first, Austin Reeves, then Spencer Dinwiddie. And hopefully, as Spencer Dinwiddie continues to get acclimated, all three of these guys can work in tandem. But I also agree with the other argument that this is what happens when you have this many ball handlers and you're on a LeBron James team, and all of these guys just have to stay ready and be prepared to play off ball as well and find ways to be effective off ball. We've seen D'Angelo Russell be a better cutter into open space, and so I think all of our guards need to continue to utilize that skill as well. And hopefully Darvin Ham continues to implement those sets where he involves these three guys as, you know, screeners, right? And these inverted pick and rolls with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. We've seen them resort to three-man tandems of D'Lo, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis in clutch situations. And yeah, you can do this with any three of those guys, and that's the luxury you have of having three skilled ball handlers. So yeah, that'll do it for this quick, short episode. Hopefully the Lakers rebound against the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got the mid-ass coaching Sugar Bowl against Darvin Ham and Doc Rivers, so strap on and buckle your seatbelts for that one. The Lakers need to win that game. It's as simple as that. As usual, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. And as I mentioned earlier, please also give us a 5-star rating and review on the Apple Podcast app. Help us get to 500 5-star ratings and reviews. And also give us a 5-star thumb tap on the Spotify app as well. We have 102 stars. We're hoping to get to 200. So help us achieve that feat. With that said, we will catch you guys next time. Tommy, and we'll see you later.
Peace.
Laters.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.